Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes with Curiosity Daily from Discovery. Time flies when you're learning super cool stuff. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. If you're dropping in for the first time, welcome to Curiosity, where we aim to blow your mind by helping you to grow your mind. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back.
Today, you'll learn about a new plan to use waste from beer brewing to clean metal out of our water supply, a study that puts languages like Orc and Klingon to the test, and a discovery about the direction our memories travel in our brains.
Without further ado, let's satisfy some curiosity.
The world has an e-waste problem. In case it's not obvious, e-waste refers to all the gadgets, tech toys, devices, and stuff like that we no longer need. This is high-tech garbage that's piling up. Like in 1 year alone, it was estimated the world produced somewhere around 60 million tons of e-waste, and only around 17% of it was documented as having been recycled.
It's one of those things we didn't really anticipate 20 or 25 years ago. I mean, sure, for decades we've dumped printers and projectors and all kinds of tech trash, but just think about the sheer number of cables alone we tossed out in a year.
Yeah, I mean, I've got like a big drawer that's basically just full of tangled up power cables and adapters. So imagine that on a global scale. And then imagine all of those cables sitting in a giant mountain next to the worn out, bigger mountain of devices they once powered. It's definitely a problem.
And as I understand it, it's not just crowding our landfills. The real problem has something to do with the chemicals and the metals that these things are made of, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They contain stuff like cadmium and mercury and all kinds of metals that can work their way into our water supply and are pretty hard to get out. And that is why a team of international researchers has gotten so excited about beer.
Beer. Is it just going to make them forget about all of their e-waste worries or...
There's that approach too. You know, enough of it could, but that's not the goal. No, not beer exactly, but something called brewer's yeast, which is a byproduct of beer brewing. If you've ever tasted Vegemite or Marmite, salty, yeasty spread Brits and Australians put on their toast, then you have experienced brewer's yeast, which serves as the basis for those spreads.
No, just hard pass. Just hard pass.
Okay, well, just in defense for the Australians who are not hosting here, I was told that we Americans, like people trying it for the first time, usually do it wrong.
Uh-huh.
Like we spread it on like it's peanut butter or jam, and really mm-hmm. you're supposed to like have a really, really thin scraped on layer. And so people get...
No.
Anyway, it is less awful. Like that. But it doesn't matter. Regardless of how you feel.
Anything's less awful if you have less of it.
It's, I'm sure it's also a very acquired taste. Well, but regardless of how you feel about Marmite, it turns out brewer's yeast can be repurposed to extract metals from water.
You're kidding.
No, this is real. The findings of the German study were published in the journal Frontiers in Bioengineering and Biotechnology. And the research team wanted to know if this cheap and readily available waste product, the brewer's yeast, could act as a sort of filter for metals in water.
So what led them to brewer's yeast?
Well, brewer's yeast is actually pretty interesting stuff. Metal ions can actually attach to the yeast's surface due to these electrostatic interactions called absorption.
Like absorption with D.
Yeah. So they wanted to see just how effective the beer waste could be at pulling metal out of the water. And they used about 20 liters of spent brewer's yeast and separated out all of the brewing residues, and they dried it. And they were able to adjust the pH levels to target different metals.
Oh, okay. So like at a certain pH level, they could go after, say, like aluminum?
Right. And when they tested across pH levels and different temperature ranges, they indeed found high recovery rates. More than 50% for aluminum, over 40% for copper, and more than 70% for zinc. In some cases, the amount the yeast was able to pull out of the waste stream shot up to around 90%.
They are literally using the waste of one product to remove the waste of another. That is super cool.
It's cheap, it's safe, and it's environmentally friendly. And it's not like the world is going to run out of brewer's yeast anytime soon, so it's widely available. Of course, they need further testing in larger scale, real life conditions before this can be implemented on an industrial scale. But if it works, not only can the metals be recovered, they could be potentially recycled into other uses.
Yeah, reduce, reuse, recycle. We all have that friend who takes their love of things all fantasy to the next level. I'm not going to say names here, Nate. I'm talking about the guy who shows up to the party dressed as Gandalf, Nate. Or the one who, instead of saying, see you later, says, live long and prosper, Nate.
Yes, yes, we do have a friend. We aren't these people, but we have friends who are these people, right? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Us science podcasters are surrounded by these amazing people. They're not ourselves.
Uh-huh. Well, researchers have just published a study on something that might interest our fantasy-minded friends. It's a study on something called conlangs, or constructed languages.
Ooh, constructed languages. So I'm guessing this is talking about things like Klingon?
Exactly. There are a ton of conlangs out there, but some of the more famous ones come from pop culture. There's Orcish and the Elfish languages from Tolkien and Dothraki from the Game of Thrones, and yes, Klingon from Star Trek.
Okay. I'm all for the study, but why? Like, what were they trying to learn?
I love that question. It actually has less to do with their love of fantasy and more to do with their fascination with language itself. They wanted to know how different languages were perceived emotionally. In other words, do some languages evoke specific impressions or have different auditory impacts than other languages?
All right. So why not just study the languages that are, you know, things people actually speak a lot?
For a couple of reasons. The biggest is that when we hear language we know, whether or not we're fluent in it, we have preconceived notions about it. We might not understand French, for example, but we are familiar with how it sounds.
Okay, that makes sense. When we hear it spoken, it conjures up our own personal biases and notions about French people.
Right. And if you've never heard a language before, you can come to the sounds clean without any preconceived cultural notions.
So this study is really just about sounds.
Yeah. So the study was conducted in Germany with around 130 German speakers. They listened to audio recordings of sentences in 12 different conlangs, including Klingon, Dothraki, Quenya, and Sindarin, which are Tolkien's Elvish languages, and Orcish, and they had the listeners assess each language for its perceived level of pleasantness, goodness, and peacefulness.
Okay, just a hunch, Klingon, Dothraki, and Orcish didn't rate so high on any of those scales?
All right, okay. This is actually where it gets a little surprising. There were a couple of interesting results here. First, languages with a higher percentage of voiced intervals, where the vocal cords vibrate, were rated more positively.
So which languages reflected that?
Well, the Elvish languages scored more positively in all categories, and in a surprise, so did Orcish.
Ugh, orcs are literally the worst, though.
Was I just saying about that one nerdy friend? Anyways.
I don't know him.
So this study, it had a couple of limitations. First, the participants only got to hear short bursts of the language. The sentences were read by a male or a female voice in an even tone, but for the next round of research, they like to focus on fewer languages but more sentences.
Okay, yeah, it is tough to form an opinion with just like a little bit of input, I guess.
Exactly. And the other thing is that they found that people tend to feel more positively about languages that use familiar sounds. So in other words,
our perception of language is probably inherently subjective.
Possibly. But if we speak, say, Persian, we might find languages with similar sounds more comforting and peaceful. But if we speak English, it's possible we feel the exact opposite. But that is something they want to dig deeper into.
Okay. I mean, what's really interesting here is that clearly the writers who created these conlangs wanted them to sound a specific way in order to match the characters who spoke them.
Which makes it even more interesting that the participants found orc to be more positive. I mean, orcs aren't really a friendly bunch.
Yeah. Huh.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think we've all had that experience where we're walking down the street and sifting through our thoughts, like, oh, what's for dinner? When's my doctor's appointment? Did I forget to feed the dog this morning? And then suddenly you walk into some aroma from somewhere that takes you back to your childhood, or you see a car that puts you in some deep place in your memory.
Yeah. Those moments when your mind is just kind of like loose, chugging along from thing to thing.
That kind of rapid coordination across activities in the different regions of our brain is one of the capabilities that makes our brain so remarkable. It may seem pretty simple and seamless, but it's actually super fast shifting and processing that involves interactions between the brain's regions and literally billions of neurons.
We talk a lot about the incredibly complex web of coordinated mechanisms in our minds all the time. When it comes to the brain, nothing is actually simple.
And that coordination is something that has interested scientists for decades. Now a team of researchers has put out a study looking at something called traveling waves and their relationship to memory storage and retrieval.
Oof, even that sentence was complex. So maybe start at the beginning. What is a traveling wave?
It's basically a brainwave that travels from one region of the brain to another.
Ah.
For years, these have been relatively left ignored. The general thought was that real processing power comes from a pretty concentrated single region of the brain. The neurons of that region do the processing for a specific task, and then coordinate with other specialized regions when needed.
So we've known about brainwaves, but did scientists just not think brainwaves served a purpose?
Well, they didn't know exactly. Traditionally, when electric impulses travel across regions of the brain, scientists just thought it was sort of a byproduct of brain activity. But this study wanted to know if those brainwaves were actually driving neural activity.
Okay, I see what you mean. It's like if you throw a pebble into the lake, the ripples are just byproducts of that pebble, but maybe those ripples are actually doing work?
Something like that. So they enlisted the help of epilepsy patients who had electrodes implanted on the surface of their brains to monitor seizure activity. And the researchers had the participants perform a series of memory tasks. And in some cases, they were asked to remember specific things, and then they were tasked with forming new memories. And that is where the surprise happened.
See, that's interesting. You often think of memory as just being one process. You remember something, but even that's complicated. There's a difference between putting something in your memory and then recalling it.
And even more interesting, they found that those traveling waves we talked about, when they were asked to put something into their memory, the traveling waves tended to move from back to front. When they tried to recall the same information later, the waves moved from front to back.
Wow. So what does that mean exactly?
It could mean a lot of things. But the biggest is that it suggests that these traveling brainwaves are more significant than scientists thought. This study opens up new pathways for exploring how traveling waves support different cognitive functions, even beyond memory. They could have an impact on attention or how we learn new concepts, for example. And it could also lead to new diagnostic tools and treatments for memory impairment.
Right. If you know which direction traveling waves typically move for specific tasks, then you know something isn't right if they don't move that way.
Clearly, neuroscience continues to uncover complexity in the brain, but this study could be a bridge to future breakthroughs. Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up. Spent brewer's yeast, a byproduct of beer making and key ingredient in Vegemite and Marmite, can repeatedly extract metals like copper and zinc from waste streams, offering a sustainable and economical solution to the growing challenge of recycling electronic waste.
A study of fantasy language like Orcish and Klingon examined our innate reactions to their phonetics, showing how certain sounds instinctively sway our perceptions of beauty, morality, and aggression independent of context.
Researchers have discovered that the brain's traveling waves move back to front during memory storage and front to back during recall.
Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery.
You can follow our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we would love it if you could take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.